Matthew chapter 1. The verse we'd like to consider today is that verse 23. Matthew 1 and verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's our subject today. God with us. The second person of the Blessed Trinity has been given many precious names. And every name he bears reveals to us some great truth about his person. For example, the prophet tells us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Five names given to the Savior, and each name belongs to Christ and Christ alone. For who else could those names be given to? Those names belong to the Savior because that's who he is. He is wonderful. He is a counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. Or those words mean he's the Father of eternity. He is the Prince of Peace. He is given those names because that's who he is. And heaven never gave a name to God's Son that didn't tell us some great truth about his person. And in the verses before us here in Matthew chapter 1, we are told about two names which were given to the son of Mary. First of all, Joseph, his earthly father, was told what he was to call the child who would come into their home. We're told in verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Thou shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And when the angel revealed to Joseph the name that the child was to be called, he also revealed to Joseph why he was called that name, why he was given that name, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Jesus, we know, means Savior. And then another name was given to God's Son, which was the fulfillment of prophecy. For we read in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, even the words that we have here in Matthew 1 verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." And now we're given the meaning of Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So he was to be named Jesus, which means Savior. He is given the name Emmanuel, as foretold by the prophet Isaiah. And Emmanuel means God with us. So I want to look at that name today. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And as we look at this name, we see here Emmanuel is a divine person. Emmanuel is a divine person. Because Emmanuel means God with us. And here we have a great mystery. That God would come and dwell amongst men in human form is indeed a great mystery. And there the mystery is spoken of by the angel in that verse 20. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. There's the mystery. Christ was not born by natural generation. Christ was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. And the great mystery is spoken of also by Luke. If you turn to Luke chapter 1, and there we read in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Here we have the one of whom it is written, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Just another name for Christ. He's called the Word. But what did we just read there from John 1 and verse 1? The Word, Christ, was in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Yet he who was with God in the beginning, he who is God, now becomes man. What a mystery that is. And when he became man, mark this, when he became man, he did not cease to be God. He is the God-man. Two distinct natures in one person, God forever. As Paul said in 1 Timothy 3 verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh. Paul called it a mystery. God was manifest in flesh. The word manifest, as you may have guessed, the word manifest means to appear. So here then Paul says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God appeared in flesh. God who was there in the beginning, Christ was there in the beginning, Christ was with God, Christ is God. And yet Christ, who is God, became man. So when the Christ child was born and lay there in Bethlehem's manger, God there that day appeared in flesh. God appeared in flesh. When Mary and Joseph looked into the face of the child, they were looking into the face of God. When the shepherds gathered around the babe and looking upon him, they had looked upon God. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen. They had seen God. And 2 years later, and it was 2 years later, when the wise men came to visit, we read, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary. Mark the words. Doesn't say they saw Mary with the young child. The young child comes first. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped who? They didn't fall down and worship Mary. Fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew 2, verse 11. Who did they see that day when they entered the house? They saw God manifest in flesh. Who did they worship that day? They worshiped God manifest in flesh. Who did they present their gifts to that day? They presented their gifts to God manifest in flesh. Yes, the Lord that was in the beginning with God, and the Lord who is God, was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's right. He was made flesh. God was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Emmanuel, is being interpreted as God with us. Regarding this divine person, we not only here have a mystery, but there is here also a great marvel. A great marvel. Is it not a great marvel? Something indeed to be marveled at. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Romans 8 and verse 3. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Remember, his Son was with him in the beginning. The Son was with him in the beginning and was equal with the Father. He is God. And he became man. God sending his own son into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh. Yes, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but that flesh was without sin. What Paul was meaning there was that Christ was made like us. We have sinful flesh. Christ was made like us, but without sin. Without sin. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Some may think that's a very irreverent way to refer to the Christ child, that holy thing. But the point is, those words refer to his flesh. That holy thing, or that flesh, is holy. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, was without sin in his flesh. His tongue never spoke an unclean word. His mind never had an unclean thought. His hands never wrought an unclean deed. His feet never walked in an unclean way. Every beat of his heart, every blink of his eyes, every movement of his hands were all without sin. Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So the verse begins, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The next verse ends, made in the likeness of men. God became man. And when he became man, he was still God. God became like us. He wept. He was weary like us. He slept like us. He sorrowed like us. He hungered like us. He was hated like us. And yet still he is God. Yea, Emmanuel was being interpreted as God with us. As well as a great mystery and a great marvel, there is here also a great mercy. Is it not a mercy that God came to dwell among men? The words of the prophet declare, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah 9, verse 6. You will notice what the prophet said. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The Lord Jesus did not come into existence in Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus was in the beginning with God. And he was God in the beginning. There we see him as the Son abiding with the Father in the beginning. But what happened in Bethlehem? The prophet said, unto us a child is born. It was the child that was born in Bethlehem. Christ came into the world as a child. Coming into the world as a child, he came into the world as the Son who was given, the Son who existed before Bethlehem. The Son existed before Bethlehem. John 1 verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so the Son who made all things was sent into this very world which he had made. And he was sent into this world in the form of a child, taking upon himself our nature. He became man. So the Son who made all things was sent into this world, and he came as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And what do we have now? We have God with us. Is that not a mercy? Why would God consider for one moment fallen man? Why would God think upon man and his depraved, totally depraved nature? Why would God look upon man who goes out of his way to sin against him and transgress all of his laws? Why didn't God just give over all of mankind to a reprobate mind? Because man did not like to retain God in his knowledge. Why did he not give up man altogether? Why did God send his Son, who was with him in the beginning? Why did he send his Son into the world in the form of man? That surely is a great mercy. Because now we can say, Emmanuel, God with us, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. That's a mercy for all who know him. Can say at all times, God is with me. God with us. As well as a divine person, we have here a divine presence. Emmanuel, God with us. There's a divine presence. The name Emmanuel certainly speaks to us of a divine presence, since that name means God with us. When we look at these words then, regarding a divine presence, we think of his condescension. This name and its meaning teaches us that our dear Lord, when he came into the world, descended to the very depths of humiliation. That's how far the Lord came. He who is God descended into the depths of humiliation when he became man. Was it not an act of unmeasurable humiliation when God should unite himself with human flesh and become one, who during his earthly ministry should become one who hungered and thirsted and wept and suffered? Yet that is what took place when Christ became man. Yea, when God, the God of heaven, because that's who Christ is, when Christ, the God of heaven, became man upon earth, there's his condescension. Should we not stand in awe and think upon this great truth, that he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God was made in the likeness of men, and came and dwelt amongst us, so that we are now able to say, Emmanuel, God with us. No, it wasn't an angel who came. It wasn't a cherub who came or a seraph who came, but it was God who came. That's it. That's what I think we should really try and get a hold of. This is a familiar story, I know. But let it sink into our minds. Let us meditate upon it, that God became man. He whom angels adored, he who was by him, that is by God, as one brought up with him, was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. That's God's Son. Proverbs 8 and verse 30. There he lies in a manger, the one who was by God, the one who was brought up with him, the one who was daily his delight. Now he lies in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes in a lowly cattle shed. Many could have looked into the face of that Christ child and said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And here he is, Emmanuel, God with us. Mary could have said to Joseph, Joseph, look at this child. We have God with us. Mary, as she held that babe in her arms, could say to Joseph, look, Joseph, look who I have in mine arms. I have Emmanuel. God is with us. Here in this lowly cattle shed, we have God with us. What a marvel and what a wonder that is. As well as his condescension, we have his companionship. God with us. This glorious word, Emmanuel, means that when we have Christ, we have God with us. The word with is used here. The word with expresses the strongest form of association. It is not merely in the company of someone. It goes beyond that. But the word with that we have in our text is a word that means to be together with. It means to share with. God with us. God together with us. God sharing with us. So the word implies a firm bond, a close fellowship, so that God is peculiarly and closely with us. He shares our nature, our flesh, our blood, our bone, everything that makes up a body. He is without sin, of course. Mind, heart, memory, thought, everything that makes a rational man, Christ possessed them all without sin. That's how closely he is associated with us. That's why when we suffer, Christ can identify with us. That's why when we sorrow, Christ can identify with us. That's why when we are tired and weary, Christ can identify with us. Why? Because he's man. He's the God-man. He knew what it was to suffer, to be sorrowful, to be tired, to be hungry, to weep, to cry. Because he's man. And since God is man and became man, he can identify with us. Because he knows, listen, he knows exactly how we feel. Because he's man too. We notice also, not only the condescension and the companionship, is God with us. There is also here the certainty. If we know and have Emmanuel, if we have received him by faith as our Savior, it is certain then that we have God with us. It means that we have God with us through every situation in life. Friends may betray us, may leave us, may abandon us, may turn against us, but one thing remains supremely sweet. We will always have God with us. Our days may be dark at times and dreary and filled with disappointments, but of this we can be sure. We will have God with us. our nights may be long, and we may feel lonely, but let us always remember it is a certainty we will always have God with us. If we have nobody else with us, we'll have God with us. In life we may have to pass through the valley of Baca, that is the valley of tears. And that valley may be deep at times, and our tears may be bitter. But remember this, we'll always have God with us. That is what he has promised. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thou not. Listen. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. God with us. Note the words. Fear not, I am with thee. Not just, I will be with thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. I'm with thee now. I'm with thee now, even before thou dost enter the valley. I'm with thee now, and I'll be with thee in the valley. And didn't he say to his disciples in Mark 16, verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. They had God with them. They had the presence of Emmanuel. And didn't he also say to them, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Wonderful Emmanuel, God with us. And when it comes to passing through the last valley, the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. With me. God with us. We'll know the presence of Emmanuel. And when we go through that valley, the other side will see Emmanuel. O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams of earth I have tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness, his mercy doth expand, and glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. We'll see Emmanuel. Emmanuel, a divine person. Emmanuel, a divine presence. And then Emmanuel, a divine purpose. A divine purpose. Looking at this sweet name and its interpretation, are we not prompted to ask, what was the purpose behind God's Son coming into the world as a child, taking upon himself the form of man, taking upon himself our nature? What was the purpose of him doing so? First of all, we can say, to redeem us. On that night, the night of the Passover, when Christ sat down with his disciples, spoke to them about what was about to take place, with the shadow of the cross now looming larger than ever, he sat down with those disciples, celebrating the feast of the Passover and instituting what we call the Lord's table. He took two emblems and used them to teach the disciples to be sure and remember him, and to be sure and remember what he did there on that cross. And when he had blessed the bread and the wine and the cup, he taught them, spoke of his blood. And he said that blood would be shed on the cross, listen, for the remission of sins. How often have we gone over those words? How often have we seen that word remission? What does it mean? The word remission means to send away. And the Lord Jesus taught his disciples that the blood that he would shed on Calvary for all who would trust him, that blood would send away all their sins, never to be remembered against them anymore forever. There's the purpose of Christ coming into the world. Hebrews 9 verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. That's God's law. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without shedding of blood, there is no sending away of sin. That's why Christ had to come into the world. That's why Christ had to be made in the likeness of man. That's why Christ had to be made in the likeness of sinful flesh. There needed to be blood shed for our sins. But how could that happen while Christ remained in heaven? Couldn't be done. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In other words, Christ had to shed his blood. And the only way that he could do that was if he became man. If he became man. And he became man. With blood flowing through his veins. Sinless blood. For only the blood of Christ could wash away or take away or send away our sin. Hebrews 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Not possible. Wherefore, when he, Christ, cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And blood flowed through the veins of that body. And all the blood that was ever shed on Jewish altars could never take away the sin and give the guilty conscience peace. It needed the blood of Christ, sinless blood. Sinful blood could not take away another sin. It had to be sinless blood. That meant needed to be the blood of Christ. And Christ had to become man in order to shed that blood that you and I could be saved. There's the purpose. To redeem us The purpose, to reside with us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That would be impossible if we had not Christ coming into the world and shedding his blood for the remission of sins, for the sending away of our sin, for the cleansing of our sin. We could not enter into heaven. We would not be with Christ. And for all eternity, God would not be with us. That's the horrors of a lost eternity. Because God is not with those in hell. God is not with those in a lost eternity. They are abandoned and will be abandoned forever. But all who are saved by grace and washed in the blood and have their sins sent away will be with God for all eternity. Yea, and we will know God with us in Emmanuel's land. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful doctrine this is. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord, we come before Thee. We think of the words we've been singing already today. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. We have every reason, Lord, to adore Thee. We have every reason to take up that position the wise men took up when they fell on their knees and worshipped Thee. Help us, Lord, then to bring to Thee the treasures of our hearts. And, O Lord, have us ever to praise Thee, our Emmanuel. O Lord God, I pray Thou would write this word, this truth, upon our hearts today. May we think about it. May the word, Lord, get into our hearts and into our very being as we think about what it cost the Holy One to come into this world and to bear away our sin. God became man. Lord, be with us now, we pray, as we part the one from the other. Grant us each one travelling mercy. Keep us safe, Lord, in our travels. And be pleased, Lord, to return us to Thy house this evening to praise Thy wonderful name and to learn more about Thee from Thine own holy and precious word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.